Right now, we're working through a conversation called Fearless. And we've been looking at this idea of fear and how for so many of us, it drives us. It dictates almost all of the decisions in our lives. It's amazing if you actually take the time to think about it. And yet, at the same time, God has stepped into our lives and presented us with this amazing dream that we've been looking at for the last couple of weeks. It's found in 1 John chapter 4. It says this, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." And God has stepped into our lives and said, I want for you to experience life in a very different way. I want for you to know what it is to have fear driven out, where fear plays the role that it was meant to play. And fear is something that's an appropriate alarm system. There are things that you should be afraid of. In other words, make sure that you pay attention, as we all have learned over the last few weeks, to what's behind you when you're in a video call. All of us have learned that in a very, very unique way as we've walked through the last couple of weeks. And we're aware of that. And there's a role for fear to play. But it is not to dictate the decisions in your life. And I want for you to experience love. And I think for many of us, this is kind of a strange combination, but I want for you to experience how love drives fear out. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at how that happens. We've looked at this powerful truth that the strongest being in existence is for me, that he's with me. And this truth that God says, no, I'm with you. And that changes the way that we see fear. And then last week, we built on that and we looked at this incredible, incredible truth that God says, I'm going to use everything in your life. Not only am I with you, but I'm going to use everything in your life for you to become more and more like my son, for you to live your life with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, for you to know the cravings of your soul and to bring those into the world around you. I'm going to use everything. You don't have to be afraid, because I'm going to use all of it. And then today what I want to do is I want to keep building on that. To do that, what I want to do is I want to go back to that dream passage and I want to dig in a little bit, because there's a lot there. As you look at it in 1 John 4, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. And not only does he share with us the dream in this moment, but then he begins to explain what he's talking about and how this works. So as he continues, he says, perfect love drives out fear. And then this is very interesting, because fear has to do with punishment. And in this moment, it's very important that we understand what the scriptures mean when they talk about and when they reference punishment. Because from the very beginning, God's been talking to us about this. And he says that there's a punishment for selfishness. There's a punishment for sin. When we hurt the people around us, when we spit in the face of our Creator, there's a punishment for it. The scriptures talk about it as death. But again, make sure that you pay attention, because when the scriptures talk about death, they're not usually talking about physical death. Is that part of it? Yes, but that's not the point of death when the scriptures talk about death. When the scriptures talk about it, is isolation. It's that you're disconnected, from God, that you're disconnected from those around you. And God says you have to understand something. The punishment for selfishness, when you hurt those around you, when you spit in the face of your Creator, when you treat people like that, there's a punishment, and that punishment is isolation. And he's saying in this moment, you have to understand, right? Fear has to do with punishment. Fear is driven by the idea and driven by the concept of rejection and isolation. And this idea that I would be rejected, that I would be isolated, that there would be, because that's the punishment at the core of it. That's the reality of it. And in this moment, he's not just talking about God's punishment. I think it's actually far deeper than that. I think he's speaking to the very core of fear. And this isn't just in terms of our relationship with God. This is also in terms of our relationships with the people around us. And so, well, I'm not going to do that because then what would people think? And I'm afraid of, we wouldn't call it punishment. We might call it judgment. We might call it rejection. We might put a different word to it. But the reality is, well, I'm afraid to do that because I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to be isolated. I don't want to experience really what the scriptures would say is part of death. You see, we were created to be in perfect community with God and with one another, and we're constantly living in a disconnect. It's not what it was created to be, and we long for that connection, and we want. And at the heart of fear is this idea of isolation and disconnect. And God says, "No, I want for you to experience how perfect love drives that out. How it completely changes the way we engage fear." And this is why the only way this can happen, the only one who can make this happen is Jesus. This is so important. The only one who can make this happen is Jesus. For us to experience how love pushes out, forces out, drives out fear, the only one who can allow that to happen, who makes that happen in our lives, is Him. And I know as we go into this, that for some of you, this is confusing, because you've been told your whole life that your relationship with God is fear, and that the way that you should relate to God is that you should live in fear. And the reality is, for all of us, our journey actually begins that way, because we have sinned, because we have done things that should make it to where we were isolated. We have done things that deserve what the scriptures talk about as death. But Jesus changed. He changed that. And I know there are some who want to just continue to move forward with fear, and they think, okay, well, we're going to be able to get people to do what they're supposed to do, and we're just going to live in fear, and this is what God wants. And what God ultimately wants in your life is for you to stop sinning. And so we're going to use guilt and fear to get people to stop sinning. Some of you believe that right now, that you believe that what God wants most is for you to stop sinning. And so sometimes you think, well, maybe I just need to make sure that I feel more guilt and that I'm more afraid, and that will help me to stop sinning. That's not actually, and listen, don't get me wrong. God wants for us to move from selfishness to selflessness. He wants for us to bring love to the world around us, and he hates the destruction that sin brings into the world. But listen to me. God's primary goal was not that you would stop sinning. God's primary goal in what He did with Jesus was that you would know Him. And God doesn't believe, again, many of us, we think this way, we believe this. God doesn't believe that you're going to become more loving because you just try harder and you work at it. No. God believes that you're going to become more loving as you draw close to Him, and that you're going to become more like Him as you are more around Him, as you experience Him, as you experience His Spirit within you. He believes that that's what actually leads to you being able to find victory when it comes to selfishness. And Jesus, as He steps into our story, he steps in to accomplish just that. That we would be united with God, that we would be able to step into God's presence, that we would be able to walk this journey with Him, that we would make it possible, that it would be possible for God's Spirit to be with us all times, everywhere we go. That same writer who wrote 1 John chapter 4 that we've been looking at. He also wrote one of the most famous passages in all of the scripture. It's found in a book that's just called John. It's John's account of Jesus' life. Listen to what it says in John chapter 3. It says, "For God so loved the world." Many of you know this verse. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." Why? So that you would stop sinning. No. "That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already." I said, our journey with God begins with fear. But Jesus changed that. He changed that so that we could become part of God's family. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians, how Paul says it as he writes to the church in Corinth. He says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view." He says, we don't think about people the way that we used to. "Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself." God reconciled us to himself. Why? Because we got it right? Because we finally stopped being selfish? No. He reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. And this line just, it blows my mind. "Not counting men's sins against them." Not counting men's sins against them. That Jesus, through Jesus, it made it possible for God to be able to interact with us, not counting our selfishness, our brokenness, all that's dark about us, and all of the ways in which we've fallen short of what God created us to be. He says, no. God was actually, through Jesus, making it possible for our relationship with God to exist outside of what it is that we had done. Well, how did he do that? He says, "And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." And then listen to this. This is so important, because this is what made it possible. It says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." No longer counting our sins against us. Let me ask you something. Do you believe that? Do you believe that through Christ, that Christ made it possible for us to no longer have our sins be counted against us? That Jesus took our sin on him. And not only did he take our sin on him, he took the punishment, the condemnation that he's talking about earlier in John. He took all of that on him. He took the full punishment that we deserved. Do you believe that? That God did that for you? Not that God ignored it, not that God's just a nice guy, but that God did that for you, that in his love, he sent his son to take that punishment that you deserve. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter what you've done. This is available to you. I want for you to understand, this is available to you. Why? Because our relationship with God, our freedom from that punishment, isn't based on you getting it right. It's based on what Jesus did, because God knows. I want for you to know love. I want for you to show love. I want for you to bring it to the world around me. But it's not going to happen because you work at it harder. It's not going to happen because in some way, shape, or form, you will it to be in your life. No, that's only going to happen because you draw close to me. I want for you to be able to draw close to me, even in the midst of your brokenness, so that, as we talked about last week, so that you can become more like my son, so that you can become more like me, so that you can bring that love to the world around you. And Jesus gave his life to take that punishment and to drive out any fear that we had of that punishment. You see, I don't know if you ever thought about this. Fear entered the story at the fall. It was when Adam and Eve made the decision to trust themselves more than they trusted God. When Adam and Eve made the decision to believe the lie that God was holding out on them. But what is the first thing that they did? Well, they hid. Why did they hide? Because they were afraid. They understood the punishment that they now deserved. They understood the reality that they now deserved isolation. And so they hid. But God came and he found them. He came and he found them. And he's doing the same thing for some of you right now. He's come to find you. Because it's time for you to no longer be afraid. It's time for you to be brought into his family. And for you to know that as Hebrews says, Jesus has made it possible for you to walk boldly into God's presence because of the fact that he took all of the punishment. And John's saying, if you continue to fear, it's because you don't understand what Jesus has done with the punishment. And this reality that he took it all. And this reality that there was a time when our relationship with God was dictated by fear. But you see, that was driven out at the cross when Jesus said, no, I love you this much. And he gave his life, took all of the punishment, and has said to each and every one of us, you don't have to be afraid again. You don't have to be afraid again. Your Father loves you this much. For some of you right now, I just want to invite you to engage God in that conversation, to accept the reality of what it is that we deserve, to accept the reality of our own selfishness and our brokenness, but to accept the reality that Jesus took all of the punishment. To accept the reality that you don't have to be afraid because of what it is that he's done. And for you to go to God and say, God, I want to accept what Jesus did for me. I want to allow your love to drive out fear in my life. I want to allow what Jesus did on that cross to drive out fear in my life. I want to invite you to do that right now, right where you are. Because this is where it begins. And if you don't experience that with God, if you don't accept that with Jesus, then fear is always going to be a part of your life. It's always going to be a part of your life, not just with God. It's going to be a part of your life with the people around you. Because when we don't experience that love in God, when we don't experience how God has loved us that way, when we don't experience the power of being accepted by Him in that way, then we constantly live in fear of isolation from those around us and rejection from those around us as well. And here's the amazing thing about this passage. Not only does it speak to us about how God's love has driven out fear, there's another piece to this, and it's really important. And even as we walk through this today, I want to take you to it because I think it's really important. If we're going to experience how this love pushes, drives out fear, we have to understand all of what he's saying in this passage. And he's not just speaking to what Jesus did on that cross. He's not just speaking to how God has loved us. Let me show you what I mean. I'm going to jump up a little bit earlier in that passage and just kind of walk you through this so that you can see what it is that John's doing here, because he's doing something really, really powerful, really, really unique. 1 John chapter 4, we're going to jump up to verse 7. He starts off, he says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." And he's saying, listen, when you've experienced God's love, you love. That's the reality of it. When you've experienced it, you demonstrate it. When you've experienced what God's done for you, you don't continue to live a life that's dominated by selfishness. It begins to change you. Why? Because you draw close to God, and as you draw close to God, it changes who you are. And all of a sudden, you begin to experience His Spirit working in your life to be able to become more loving, to become more selfless. He says, "This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him." Exactly what we've been talking about. This is love. Not that we loved God. And I love this. He's making it very clear. Listen, this didn't happen because you made your way back. This didn't happen because you made this happen. No, God loved you first. Just as God came to find Adam and Eve, as they're hiding and as they're afraid, He's come to find us. He says, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Again, He took the punishment. He's speaking this reality that He's taken the punishment. "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us." Now this is really important, because he says no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. He's saying when we love the people around us, it allows them to be able to see God. It allows them to be able to see how it is that God that God works, and His amazing love is able to be displayed through us. And then as he continues, he speaks to something that's very important, because he continues and says, "And His love is made complete in us." Now let me ask you a question. Is God's love lacking? Do we have anything that we could add to His love as if it's insufficient or it's too small? What does he mean by it's made complete in us? What is he talking about here? This is really important, because he says no one's seen God, but when we love, we allow people to see that, and His love is brought to its fullness. There's something that Jesus tried so hard for His disciples to understand and for His followers to understand. There's multiple times where He tries to teach this to them. And throughout the scriptures, God is trying to teach us this idea that it's better to love than to be loved. That it's better to give than to receive. You've heard this, because it's all throughout the scripture. It's better actually to give it away than it is to receive it. And here He's saying, listen, I want for you, look at how God has loved us. And it originated with Him, and now He's given it to us. But if you've experienced it, you're going to give it to other people. It allows people to be able to see who God is and understand something. And this word complete, it means the idea of fullness, to bring something to its fullness, to bring to its climax, to bring to its ultimate, to be able to in some way perfect it. The perfect one's an interesting one, but it's still part of this idea of what this word means. Now, is God's love imperfect? No. What he's saying is this. Your greatest experience of God's love Your greatest experience and our greatest experience of God's love is not when we receive it, but it's actually when we give it away. He's saying we're able to bring it to its fullness, not when we just receive it. Why? Because God didn't create any of us to just take things in and not give them out. He says, no, I want for you constantly. I want to pour into your life and I want for you to pour into others. And I want for you to understand something. The fullness, your fullest experience of this is when you begin to practice that. And I want for you to experience the fullness of this, to bring it to its fullness. And so I want for you to give it away. He says, we know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. Again, he's talking exactly everything we talked about, that God took that punishment, that he now is with us, that he lives, that his spirit is given to us, that He's always with us, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done. God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. He's just further explaining how Jesus has made this possible. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, again, he says it, in this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. He says, no, God is loving us and we're loving those around us. And in this way, we're bringing this to its fullness, not when we receive it, but when we give it away. And he says, and this gives us confidence. Now, don't make the mistake of thinking, okay, we have confidence because we did the right thing. We have confidence because of our works. No. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you get confidence because as you begin to love like God, you begin to see how God works through this. We've been saying this throughout this entire journey, that as you step out in faith, you see God work, and all of a sudden you have incredible confidence in who God is. And you're able to take other steps of faith even easier than before because your faith has grown. And he's the same thing is happening here. He's saying, listen, as you step out and love people in the way that God has loved you, you're going to see how God works through everything in your life. You're going to see the remarkable way that God has loved you. Because if you try to love someone the way that God has loved you, you become very aware of how great God's love is. Some of you are experiencing this in a powerful way right now because you are locked in a box with a group of other people. And here in our part of the country, those boxes are pretty small. Pretty small. And for the last couple of weeks, you've been in that small space with these people. And I think for a lot of us, we want to love them. We want to love them well. The problem is we just don't like them anymore. We don't know if we can take another day with them anymore. And in those moments, if you take the time to reflect on it, and I think this is what he's saying, if you strive to love them the way that God has loved you, you're going to realize a couple things. One, you're not that good at it. And two, his love is a lot bigger than we even thought. It's a lot harder. It's amazing. And one of the things that being a dad has taught me is just how incredible God's love is, because, you know, I think about just how frustrated I get sometimes with my kids and the fact that they just won't listen. And in those moments, I have to stop and reflect on the fact that, oh my goodness, God, how do you not just destroy me with how much I don't listen? How can you be that patient? If you strive to love the way that God loves, it gives you incredible confidence on the day of judgment because you see just how much he loves you. And so I don't have to be afraid on that day. I've not only seen what Jesus has done for me, I see the way that he loves. And it's far bigger than I even realized. And pay attention to this. What we've just walked through, that's exactly how he walks into the dream passage that we've been looking at for the past few weeks. That's how he enters verse 18. Let me take you back to that verse again, because there's something now that hopefully you'll see that you didn't see before. He says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Now, this is a little bit tricky because inside of our English translations, they use two different words here, even though in the original, it's the same root word. So every time in the previous verses where he used the word complete, it's the same word, it's the same root word as this word, perfect. So I told you earlier, it's this idea of fullness, of perfection, bring it to completion. It's the same root word. Well, what did he use that for in the earlier verses? What was it that completed God's love? What was it that brought to the fullness God's love? It wasn't just what God had done, was it? It was also when we love others. And don't miss this. This is really, really cool how John does this. Because in this moment, when you first read, but perfect love, you think, oh, he's talking about God's love. No. He's just taught us that it's not just that. It's the combination. It's the combination of how God has loved us and how we love others. And he says, I want for you to not just experience God's love. I want you to bring that to the world around you. And I want for you to understand that when you do that, it drives out fear. It drives out fear. You gain confidence in how God loves you, and it drives out fear. It doesn't just drive out your fear of isolation or disconnect from God. It drives out the fear that you have of that with others. It changes the way that you experience that fear with others, because when you've experienced God's love that way, you're able to love them even when they don't love you back. When you've experienced acceptance that way, you're able to love even when you get nothing in return. Why? Because I don't need that in order to love them. Look at what I'm receiving from God. I find my identity. I find acceptance. I find belonging. All of these things, I find it in God's love. And then I'm able to love those around me. And that it changes our entire experience of fear. And we're able to make ourselves vulnerable. And make no mistake about it, and this is really important, you can't love well if you're afraid. And for many of us, we want to love, but we're afraid of being rejected. We're afraid of not being valued. We're afraid of, and so rather than being vulnerable and rather than stepping out in those ways, there's distance and there's a wall. And God says, no, I want to drive that out. I want to drive out that fear. And I want you to know that there's not a moment of your life that you're not accepted by me. I want you to know that there's not a moment of your life that you don't belong to my family. I want you to know that there's not a moment of your life that you are not loved beyond what you could even imagine. So you don't have to be afraid anymore. You can love them because of how I've loved you. Let me just take you to another passage that's really, really popular. It's the verse that comes after our dream passage. Many of you have heard it before. You know what it is? It says, we love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. He says, no, I want to drive that out. And we love them not because of what they're going to give back. We love them not because we know that we're not going to be rejected, not because we know that there's not going to be situations in which they hurt us. No, we're able to love them. Why? Because perfect love has driven out fear, and I know there's not a moment of my life that I'm not loved. So I can love you. I can be vulnerable, and I can risk loving you no matter how you respond. Because love has driven out fear. As we come to the end of this conversation today, my prayer for you, is that not only would you experience God's love and the way that that begins to impact fear, but that you would so experience it, and that you would work to bring that to the world around you, and in doing that, you would experience the amazing way that perfect love drives out fear. You don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to be afraid anymore. You can know that He loves you, and you don't have to be afraid to love, because you know that He's got you. He always will. And the cravings of your heart are found in and can be satisfied in Him. The strongest being in existence is not just with you, He is passionately for you. You never have to be afraid. You never have to be afraid of Him. He's working through everything. He's working through everything. Even in those situations when you go to love and you're not loved back, He's working through all of it. He's working through all of it. And as you trust Him in that and you follow Him in that, well, fear changes. You don't have to be afraid anymore. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray that as we continue to move forward together in these uncertain circumstances, the situation that we're in, I pray that the truth of how your love impacts fear, that it would overwhelm us. I pray for those that for the first time today, they stepped into this relationship with you, they accepted what you've done, and for the first time, that fear of rejection by you, that fear of punishment, all of that is gone because they've realized that Jesus has taken that for them. But I pray that we would also realize that it's not just in receiving your love, but it's in giving it away that love drives out fear. And we realize that not only do we not have to be afraid of rejection from you, but we don't have to be afraid of rejection from those around us, because we know that we've found what we crave. We know that we've found the love that we so long for in you. And so we're able to love them the way that you've loved us. We're able to love them because you've loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.